Good morning. Welcome to October. This is June Murphy's favorite month because it's Halloween in this month, and she gets to dress up as a monster cookie. Although, June, that's 31 days from now, so I don't know why you decided to model your costume today. But, you know, welcome to Barah Ministries. It's good to have you here. You didn't see that one coming, did you? I just made that up right here as I was sitting there. It was beautiful. So welcome to Barah. Just hit me as I looked at the date on the clock. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church with worldwide impact based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. At Barah Ministries, our God is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 17, the Apostle Paul communicates the benefits that come from spending time getting to know the Lord in Bible study, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to spend time to get to know the Lord in Bible study. So here's what Paul says about that. Colossians 1:9, he says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, I, Paul, have not ceased to pray for you believers in Christ at Colossae, and I have not stopped asking that you may be filled with the complete knowledge of God's will." That's one of the things that God wants. You know, people say God works in mysterious ways. That's a crock. God works in very predictable ways, and he wants you to know his will. But there's no way for you to know his will if you don't study the Word of God. It's not going to fly over your head and drop onto your head from a pigeon. You have to spend time getting to know what God's will is, and his will is crystal clear. With thorough spiritual wisdom that leads to practical know-how. God wants you to learn knowledge, turn it into wisdom, and then use that wisdom actually for the practical things that go on in your life. If you're wondering why your life's not working or why something in your life is not working, all you have to do is turn your attention to the Word of God, and it will illuminate that brightly for you. So for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, I, Paul, have not ceased to pray for you believers in Christ at Colossae, and I have not stopped asking in prayer that you may be filled with the complete knowledge of God's will, with thorough spiritual wisdom, to be filled with thorough spiritual wisdom that leads to practical know-how, and that you may be filled with understanding, which leads to great decision-making. And that is the key to this life, decision-making. Life is a choice. Everybody believes that it's your environment. You know, so people, when you ask them, why isn't your life working out? Oh, well, see, what happened is when I was a child, I was dropped on my head. This has nothing, your life today has nothing to do with your past. Your past was the ticket that got you to this day, and that is over with. And why we look back there, we're always looking in the past, looking for the answers, especially in childhood, that time when we were the stupidest in our life. Why would you look back to that particular portion of your life when that particular portion of your life, it was not that significant, really? What were you doing? You were playing in the playground and skinning your knees. What were you doing there that was so impactful and significant? So great decision making. It's not your environment. It's not your circumstance. And I am a great example of that. You know, my brothers and sisters talk about how lucky I was. Lucky, we had the exact same circumstance. We lived nowhere. We were a bunch of nobodies, and yet one of us made it out and three of us didn't. Why is that? Choice, that's why. Choices are what shapes a person. And all of us, everywhere in the world, get the chance to make decisions that change our destiny. If we want to do it, we do it. If we are cowards, we don't. That's how it is. Colossians 1:10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What are we like when we're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? We have proven character. And why would we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? To please him in every way through obedience. That's how we please the Lord. We please the Lord when we do exactly what he's asking us to do. And that's called obedience. And why wouldn't we want to do exactly what he wants us to do when everything he decides is perfect? Both by bearing fruit in every good work, and that's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you, and by continuing to increase in the knowledge of God, continuing to get to know God. Because why? Because not knowing God turns into spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom, if used properly, turns into practical know-how. Colossians 1:11. and that you will be strengthened. This is Paul continuing to pray for the believers at Colossae and all believers in Christ, as a matter of fact, and that you will be strengthened from within. God always works on us from the inside out, that you will be strengthened from within with all divine power, with divine omnipotence, as believers in Christ. Is something not working in your life? Why is that? You have this access to the exact same power, divine omnipotence, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is through God the Holy Spirit. So if something isn't working out in your life, it's probably you. It's not God the Holy Spirit. It's probably you not accessing the divine power that you have as believers in Christ. And that you will be strengthened from within with all divine power, omnipotence, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. What is steadfastness? Perseverance. What does the Christian way of life really take? Perseverance. What is perseverance? Put one foot in front of the other. Stop looking at where you are right now. Where you are right now is not where you're going. And what is patience? Be willing to wait for the Lord's timing. Because his timing is always perfect. And while you slept last night, he was orchestrating your life and all the things in it so that it would work together for your good. That's what he promises us. Colossians 1:12. Joyously giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us believers who are in union with Christ, and every one of us as believers is in union with Christ, a union that you cannot get out of ever, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We know what the kingdom of light is. That's God's plan. And we as believers in Christ are safely nestled within God's plan in the kingdom of light. And we have an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled, reserved for us in heaven, that moth and rust will not destroy. Colossians 1:13. For God the Father, amazing here, God the Father rescued us believers in Christ from the domain of darkness. We were born physically alive and spiritually dead on the wrong side of a barrier, helpless and hopeless to do anything about it to save ourselves. And God the Father rescued us believers in Christ from that domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his divinely loved Son, his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one whom we worship, that one who is at the center of our life as believers in Christ, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we realize it or not, whether we're bringing it to our attention or not, every single day, and that's what we ought to be doing, but of course we're too busy because there are more important things to do, like text messaging and voicemails and emails. It's more important to interact with that crap than it is to interact with the person who created us, our Savior, the person who saved us, the person who transferred us out of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son and to the marvelous light. Colossians 1:14. In union with whom? This Christ. In union with whom we believers in Christ have redemption. What does that mean? That means that we were purchased with a price. And the price was the Lord Jesus Christ's life. He went to the cross and died on a cross and shed his blood so that our sins could be paid for, so that we could get to the other side of the barrier and have a relationship with God, because God can have nothing to do with sin. But because of what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross, he wiped out the sin problem once and for all time, not only for us as believers in Christ, but also for unbelievers as well. In union with this Christ, with whom we believers in Christ have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. Sin is wiped out one way, through blood. Not your blood, not the blood of animal sacrifices like in the Old Testament, like they tried to do, but by the blood of the Lamb, the one who is, you know what I mean? The one, the Lamb without spot or blemish. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:15. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image, the exact duplication, the exact replication, the exact same in essence of the invisible God, that's God the Father. This Lord Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn, he is the sovereign God over all creation. Colossians 1:16. For by the agency of the Lord, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he created Satan. And that should just boggle your mind how a God that is as magnificent as he was, as he is, who created this creature who was perfect in every way, the most beautiful, most gorgeous, most brilliant creature ever to come from the hand of God, would betray the very person that created him. And that's what we see in the world. We see atheists. There is no God. Okay, the minute you say God, you've just created a lie for yourself. Agnostics. I don't think that the mysterious stuff of God can really be known. Well, why would God bother to give us the Bible then? If it can't be known, why would he write it down in a book? Why would he have believers in Christ, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, carried along by God the Holy Spirit, write it down if it can't be known? Atheists and agnostics are goofballs. They haven't got a brain in their head, and they're going to regret it for all eternity that they didn't bother to find out what it is that is this free, magnificent gift of salvation that God offers to us free of charge with no work on our part. Colossians 1:17. Did I finish that? Yeah, I did. Colossians 1:17. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do you hear that, you recyclers? Do you hear that, you tree huggers who are all worried that we're going to run out of water? You know, look into the Bible. What does the Bible say? It says that a contractor who is going to build a house, who doesn't calculate how much he needs to build the house before he builds the house, is an idiot, right? Because he's going to run out of money and everybody's going to laugh at him. Our Lord Jesus Christ would never let that happen. We're not going to run out of water. We're not going to run out of trees. We're not going to run out of resources. And it's all wonderful that you, don't ruin the trees. It's wonderful that you think that way. But you're thinking that way for the wrong reason, and the wrong reason is that you think that God is unfaithful. He is not. And he doesn't need your help. He is totally sufficient, perfectly sufficient in every single way, and has thought of everything in the matter of all of us and this world. So welcome to a place where you can worship the one and only sovereign God of the universe, the one from whom all blessings flow, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's Bible lesson, you've heard Jesus say this many times. I am the truth. And I don't know whether that really sinks into you, what the implication is of that to you. But he says, I am the truth. And what I want you to ask yourself is if there is truth in you. Are you truthful? And remember, there's no condemnation for those who are believers in Christ. So we're not going to condemn ourselves or feel guilty about the fact that we're making an inspection of ourselves. But is there truth in you? Is there truth in your innermost being? Because that's what God wants in you. And to ensure that you had that, he gave you the voice of truth, God the Holy Spirit. So here's the group Casting Crowns, to sing about our mentor and teacher, God the Holy Spirit, in the song, The Voice of Truth.
Climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth
Songs ever written in biblical Christianity, The Voice of Truth by Casting Crowns. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, we are privileged and humbled by your unconditional love for us, a love where you have no conditions, no requirements of us, a love that never changes, a love that is so powerful and so intimate that it would make you want to send your only son, our Lord, to die on a cross to shed his blood so that we can live. Thank you for thinking so highly of us, even though we are not at all worthy of the blessings that you bestow on us. Lead us into all the truth, Father, and let your Holy Spirit's hand keep us away from evil, and instead keep us gravitating day by day to your love and your guidance and your protection. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's lesson, I am truth. Jesus said that. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. I am truth. I would love to take credit for the lessons that I teach you. I would love to say that all the genius that is in these lessons is strictly from my hand and my thoughts. But you know good and well that that's not even possible. And you know it because the lessons speak to each one of you in very different ways that you never saw coming. And there's no way that I could anticipate what it is that you needed to hear today. God, the Holy Spirit, knew exactly what you needed to hear today and brought it into this lesson and to every lesson that we do. So when I talk, you know, if you want to think, oh, he's expressing his opinions and I disagree, go ahead. But it's not my opinions. You, as a matter of fact, you would not want a lesson where I stood here and expressed my opinion. Because you wouldn't like it at all, because I would tell you the truth about you, and you wouldn't want to hear it, right? But the Holy Spirit is telling us the truth. And the cool thing about it is there's no difference between me and you, and I know you don't believe that. You know that you think that I'm anointed and exalted and amazing and all that stuff that you think about pastors, and then you want to put pastors in a box. So I can't believe he swore. I can't believe he's a human being. It's the same thing that people do in marriage, right? They marry this person, and they can't believe that they married a human being. And then at a point in their relationship, they find out that they married a human being, and they're, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this person made a mistake. Oh, the mistake. Oh, what are we going to do now? Well, we do the only thing there is for human beings to do. We punish them. We punish them. We leave them because they made a mistake. We forget all our mistakes and excuse those. We punish them for their mistakes, and we portray ourselves as victims, right? But if you have the truth inside of you, then you know a whole different story. I think that's what Casting Crowns was saying. Once you find out the truth, there's a whole different story. And that's what this lesson and succeeding lessons are about. Now, what we're doing is we're studying Romans chapter 12, and it has five passages. We've studied the first passage. As a matter of fact, I'm positive that if you never hear the expression, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, I know if you never hear that again, you'll be happy because you've been hearing that for the last 10 lessons that in verse 1. Passage 2 is verse 2, and we're going to spend probably 10 lessons on verse 2 because this is all about the truth. And this is all about why you come to Bible study. See, everybody's turned off. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. Why? Why don't you want to go to church? Well, when I was a kid, the pastor, when I was the person, oh, my mom and dad made me. So I don't want to hear anything about truth, that rudder for my soul. I just do it on my own because I'm strong and independent. Yeah. Yeah, we all think that until that moment when the light gets turned off. And it could happen 2 seconds from now. Boom. And you find out just how strong and independent you aren't. You find out real quick when there's a disaster. You know, I feel for those folks who are in have been through the hurricane situations out east. Because I've been in a Category 1 hurricane. And Category 1 hurricane is the sissy of hurricanes. You know, but in the sissy of hurricanes, 30-foot waves, and you see the wind pick up a pole, turn it sideways, and send it right through a building and just destroy the building. So the second passage, verse 2, is where we start to learn the truth. You know, there's a lot of truth to learn, like God controls the weather. That God is always everywhere you are and is watching you. And if you're a believer in Christ, is very much concerned for everything about you and is just not going to let some things happen to you, even if you try to make them happen. Passage 3 is verse 3. So these first three verses, you know, there's 30 lessons in those first three verses. They're amazing verses. And they're all about the transition into the do's and don'ts of the Christian way of living. Passage 4 is from verses 4 to 8. And passage 5 is verses 9 to 21. So a lot of depth in this chapter 12. So we've completed our study of the first passage, which was verse 1. Let's read and listen to all of Romans chapter 12, and let's move on in our study then to the second passage, which is Romans chapter 2, 12, verse 2, a verse very well known to most Christians. So first, the entire chapter, and here's the Rory translation of verse 1. The Apostle Paul telling us believers in Christ this: because of all the things you have learned about yourselves as Gentiles, and because of all the things you have learned about Israel and the Jewish race in the first 11 chapters of this letter to the Romans, I, the Apostle Paul, am begging you, believers in Christ, as you keep on being persuaded because of the many and the multifaceted mercies of God, to present your bodies by choice, not by command, simply responding to God's invitation as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God the Father, which is your spiritual service. And your spiritual service is called worship. Next, the verse we're about to study, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we come to church, to have our mind renewed. And why we're turned off to it most of the times is because most of the pastors who are teaching in churches don't ever open the Bible. Joel Osteen. You think he's a great pastor? All you have to do is just look and ask yourself, how many times does he open the Bible and take me into it? Because that's what a pastor's job is. Our job is to take you into that. Our job is not to entertain you. This is not a concert. Our job is not to pamper you. Our job is to tell you the truth. And, you know, quite frankly, most of the people who have left Barah Ministries are people who asked me to help them, and when I told them the truth, they left. You know why? Because they weren't interested in the truth. And you know what? You guys aren't much different. I mean, maybe you like me a little better. I don't know. But the question you got to ask yourself is, how interested in the truth are you? Because when I stand up here and I tell you I'm just like you, the only difference between me and you is I have a different spiritual gift than you. It's the gift of pastor teacher. But as a person, I'm the same as you. You don't want to believe that, because you want to believe in somebody. You should. Christ. Christ. That's who I believe in. Christ. That's the source of everything. Christ. That's where my strength comes from. Christ. Not Bible doctrine. Not church. Not a pastor. And certainly not from you. Not from relationships. From Christ. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I will ever become is all about one word: Christ. He's amazing. Amen? I just needed to know if you're here with me. So that's Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world. We're going to ask ourselves, well, what is the world? But keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What exactly does that mean? We're going to find out. Romans 12, 3. For through the grace given to me, this is Paul talking about himself. For through the grace given to me, I, Paul, say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Don't be arrogant, in other words, but realize from whom your blessings flow. Every time you get a check, you didn't earn that. God gave it to you. He gave you the talent. He gave you the ability. He gave you the thoughts that put that situation in play. It's not you. That was early in my career. I saw every time I get an order, I'm good. Woo! And then I always had some, did you like that? I was crazy. And I always had some Christian in my life that, isn't the Lord's blessing wonderful, honey? The Lord, I was on that plane. I closed that. No, honey, you didn't. God opens the door And nobody can shut it. Amen. Yeah, amen. Shut up. That's what I told. People used to say that to me, but you know, you start that you have some knowledge and then you get some spiritual wisdom and you realize that that's absolutely correct. Romans 12:4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, Romans 12:5, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members of one another, Romans 12:6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, Romans 12:7. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching, Romans 12:8. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness, Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Listen to the do's and don'ts of this final passage. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Romans 12:11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, make it a habit to pray. Romans 12:13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Ooh. Bless and do not curse. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And I think of the word sophomore, which means wise fool. You know, the second year students in college and in high school who think they know everything, but they really don't. Sophos moros, wise fools, when I get to that verse. Romans 12:17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Romans 12, by the way, when you do that, when you do what 12:17 suggests, you'll feel like a stupid idiot. Right? It's always easy to cut somebody off. Right? But it's really hard to know that a person ought to be cut off and you still give to them anyway. And when you reflect exactly what the Lord would do, everybody thinks you're stupid. You're not. Romans 12:18. If possible. And by the way, it's not everybody that thinks you're stupid. You think you're stupid too. Amen? But you are not. Romans 12:18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And it doesn't always depend on you. Romans 12:19, never take your own revenge, beloved, divinely loved ones, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, and it always happens. People who think they're getting over on you, they never do. Because the Lord does not allow that to happen to believers in Christ. Romans 12:20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans chapter 12. That's what we're going to study. I can't wait to get to that fourth passage where we start talking about spiritual gifts. Y'all ain't going to like that part. I guarantee you're not going to like that part. Because there's going to be some changes here in Barah Ministries. And some spiritual gifts are going to get put in play. And the confusion about what your spiritual gift is going to change. Because if you don't know what it is, I'm going to assign it. Because we got work to do. Amen? All right. As unbelievers, the gospel message, the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ shed blood and what it did for us at the cross, which is the complete removal of the wages of sin, death, introduced us and invited us to be a part of the Christian way of life. In other words, we were all born as unbelievers. And we had to be invited to believe in Christ. And we were invited by the gospel message. Now, Romans chapter 12 through Romans chapter 16 introduces those of us who have accepted the invitation to believe in Christ to the Christian way of living. We make a transition from the Christian way of life to the Christian way of living. We get invited to the Christian way of life, and we accept that invitation. Now it's the Christian way of living. What do you do after salvation? Brilliant question. After salvation, then what? And so what most Christians think the then what is that they take over. That they have to stop sinning or keep the law. And they spend 40 to 50 years figuring out they can't do either of them. And then when, you know, it's like somebody who has a life jacket on who can't swim. And you push them into the pool and they're panicked and swinging their arms and swinging their arms and swinging their arms. And finally they can't swing their arms anymore because they're tired. And then they're just sitting there and they're still floating. Because the life jacket is holding them up. And that's what happens to Christians when they go through life for 50 years and figure out that they can't stop sinning and they can't keep a law. That as a matter of fact, every time a law is put in place, the first thing they want to do is break it. And they've been flailing so long and the flailing didn't work, and now they have to just stop flailing and let their arms fall to their sides because their arms are so tired they can't pick them up. It's like a boxer who's boxed 3 rounds. I don't know if you ever boxed 3 rounds or not, but after 3 rounds, you know, if you go into the 4th round, the fight's like this. You're just jumping your body at the person because you can't even pick up your arms. I admire fighters who can keep their arms in this position for 12 rounds. Because after about 3 rounds, you're ready to die. Boxing is strenuous. And that life jacket is Christ. He's the one who holds us up. And after you figure out it's not sin and it's not the law, you have to ask yourself, well, then after salvation, what? Grace. Freedom. Will. Choice. And then God leaves you around for a while to see what that life is like. So as we move into the study of the Christian way of living, God tells us the do's and don'ts of walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. And this introduction is every bit as frustrating as it is awe-inspiring. Creatures know, through the gospel message, that we can do nothing to save ourselves. We also know that we are just as helpless and hopeless. We also know that just as we were helpless and hopeless as unbelievers to achieve salvation on our own, in the same way we believers in Christ are helpless to achieve anything related to our sanctification. We're no longer hopeless. We have hope, Christ. And so that sanctification is the second phase of Christianity. The first phase of Christianity, unbelief from physical birth to salvation, a response to the gospel message. The second phase of Christianity, you're saved, but now what? Sanctification. God sets you apart for a set of privileges. God was responsible for accomplishing your salvation, and God is responsible for accomplishing your sanctification as well. He is perfect. Everything he does is perfect, and he's not going to let you screw up the Christian way of life for him. See? In the second phase of Christianity, the Christian way of living, we learn exactly what God set us apart for, and what he saved us for. And that is what salvation is to be set apart for a set of privileges that stagger the imagination. We can't earn them, we don't deserve them, because there's nothing in us that would merit the gifts that are as magnificent as the ones the Lord has earned for us with his death on a cross. So what does our magnificent God want us to have in the second phase of Christianity? If you say you're a Christian, tell me what it is that now you're a Christian, God wants you to have in you. Anybody got any ideas? Say again. That's what he wants you to do. What does he want you to have inside of you? Truth. T-R-O-O-F. Truth. He wants you to have the truth. Why? Because the truth will set you free. Amen? If we know the truth, we will know him. Why? Because he says, I am the truth. In my very being, I am the truth. So if you know me, you have to know the truth. So you don't come and study the Bible, you aren't going to know the truth. You're going to know the lies of the kingdom of this world, and you're going to operate with that mentality, and that mentality never works, and you'll scratch your head and go, I wonder why that happens. Why does 6 in first 10 marriages end in divorce? Why does 7 in 10 second marriages end in divorce? Why did 8 in 10 third marriages end in divorce, and we don't even want to know what happens after that? Why? No truth. And you ain't going to get truth from a marriage counselor. I'm still looking for that in the Bible. Okay, when things go rocky in my marriage, what should I do? And, you know, it's hard this way, right? You just get on a computer, and you pull up your Bible on the computer, and you just type in marriage counseling. It's nowhere in there. That's the first thing everybody wants to do when they have trouble in their marriage. And you know why they want to do that? Because they don't want to do what the Bible says. Women, obey your husbands. Men, love your wives like Christ loved the church, unconditionally. They don't want to do that, which is free, by the way. That's not $145 an hour, and it's not really hard. They don't want to do that, so they got to go to a marriage counselor and say, well, I don't know, maybe you should have a date night. Maybe that's the key. And I go scurrying in. Dating. I don't see it in here. I don't see date night in there. All right, so here's the verse we're studying, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. And there are three sources that are trying to conform you. Satan, the enemy of God, his world system of thought, which is communicated by the media, which he controls because he is the ruler of this world, and by the flesh inside of you, an internal agent that is always trying to ruin your life. So don't be conformed to this world. That's what's meant by this world. Instead, keep on being transformed by God the Holy Spirit. See, it's not even on you. The transformation. You don't have to do the transformation. God the Holy Spirit is doing the transformation for you. Keep on being transformed by God the Holy Spirit through the renewing of your mind by studying the Word of God so that you may see clearly what the will of God is. And what the will of God is that which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is perfect. God wants us to know the truth because if we know the truth, we will know Him. In John 14:6. He says, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, his apostle, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the resurrection life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. I am the way to salvation, the only way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God, and I am the resurrection life, what happens after you believe, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. Oh, no, I don't believe that, Pastor. I think there are many ways to get to Jesus. I think there are many ways to get to God. You're welcome to think anything you want, but you're dead wrong. There's one way to get to heaven, Christ. Now, he said it. He's either lying or he's telling the truth. What do you believe? I know what I believe. I think he's telling the absolute truth because he is truth. As humans, we're not interested in the truth. We're much more interested in tell me what I want to hear and don't make me look at myself. To face the truth as human beings, we have to come to grips with our blood guiltiness. And this is an overview lesson, so I'm not going to teach you all these things at this time, but you are blood guilty from birth. You did something that offended God in the worst way, and the only response that he could have to that offense, sin, is death. You're toast. Except for Romans 3:21. But now, the salvation that's from God, he provided a way out. But we have to face and come to grips with our blood guiltiness, our sin at physical birth, which was the only has only one solution, death. And it's the same challenge David faced, you know, the slingshot boy in the Bathsheba incident. There was nothing in the Mosaic law to handle a king, and he was a king at this time, and a military general who was derelict in his duty, who didn't go out with his troops during a war, who instead went out on his balcony, looked over into his friend's yard, his best friend and best general's yard, saw his wife sunbathing naked, she was doing that on purpose, of course, invited her to the palace, had sex with her, adultery, got her pregnant, tried to bring her husband down to sleep with her so it could be plausible that he made the baby. And when he refused, because he had too much integrity, to have sex with his wife while his men were on the battlefield, David sent his friend Uriah to the front lines to be killed, conspiracy to commit murder, and then had him murdered. He engaged in a sin of the greatest magnitude, and he was absolutely blood guilty. And he knew it. And he knew that the only way out of that blood guiltiness was death. He should have been stoned to death. Now, in reflection from the pit of darkness and from the darkest part of his soul, David knew that God was the only way out. Psalm 51:6, "Behold, you, Lord, desire truth in the innermost being." What does God want in you, believers in Christ? Truth. And the truth comes from here and here only. 66 books, only 27 of which you're responsible for. And if that's not in your soul, you got a problem on your hands. Truth is the solution to virtually every problem that we face. And that is why it is so refreshing and so nurturing to study the truth of the Word of God and then to be guided by its principles. So let's take a quick music break, and we come back. We'll learn why God thinks truth is so important in the innermost being. God is always working on changing our heart, and that is the music break song. Change My Heart, O God, by Eddie Espinoza. Welcome back to today's Bible lesson. I am the truth. I being the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the truth. Let's begin the next portion of our lesson by giving you a chance to make an offering. We need and we value your financial support to continue the work of this ministry. Please welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with the offering message.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church where real people come to listen to a real pastor tell real truth. And last week, Pastor mentioned that real sacrifice is when we reflect God. And when I hear of a reflection, I instantly think of a mirror and all the attributes of a mirror. And you think about a mirror, it shows you the truth when you look into it. It doesn't tell you a lie. And that might be a bad thing or it might be a good thing. And when you think about a mirror does all the work. You don't do anything. It just reflects. So when we're a mirror for God, we don't do any work. And all we do is reflect the absolute truth. You see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So he took us out of darkness, where a mirror doesn't work, and put us into light. And I like to think of each of us standing there holding a mirror. And all we're doing is being obedient by holding that mirror. And we're shining the truth that's reflecting off of us from God to the outside world. And I think it's a great way to see if something you're listening to or hearing from the outside world has any truth. What light is shining out of that? Look at Joel Osteen. There's no light shining out of there. There's no truth. There's no Bible verses. And, you know, I generally listen to the messages each week over and over, but I don't watch them so much. And I've watched a couple just to check it out, and it's like looking in a mirror. And I kind of notice my one ear kind of hangs down a little bit, so we're going to have to work on the camera equipment here or something. But when you really think about a mirror, it's one of those things in your life where when you stand in front of it, you have a choice. It doesn't show you the past. It doesn't show you the future. It shows you now. What's your next choice? And I think everybody here made a great choice after looking in the mirror and came here today. And everybody that's listening made a great choice because this is the only thing that matters in life. And it really should be that way. It shouldn't be the last thing we think about. It should be the first thing we think about each day. And I really appreciate Pastor for for trudging through a lot of hard times in this ministry and a lot of negative feedback and a lot of people that didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to look in the mirror and see the truth. And I think it's the best place to be. And I really appreciate everybody who's given of their time, their talent, and their treasure, and I look forward to people that are going to step up and do more things for this church because we have so many positions and so many cool things to do and such a great facility to have it. And so really appreciate everybody so far and keeping up the good fight. So thank you.
Today's Bible lesson, I am the truth. There wasn't a lot of clapping for your most excellent offering message, Deacon Denny, because the mood in the room is a little bit somber. You know, when we start talking about the truth, the mood gets a little bit somber, amen? Yeah, well, good, because there's a mood change as we go from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to Romans chapter 12, verse 2 as well. The mood shifts from the indicative mood in the Koine Greek language, which is the mood of request, brethren, I'm begging you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, to the imperative mood in the Koine Greek language, which is the mood of command. So God is asking you to voluntarily come, and then once you get here, he's telling you, this is exactly what I want you to do, the mood of command, the mood of definitely do this, definitely don't do that. See, that's what people don't like about the truth, because the truth isn't gray. The truth is you did it or you didn't. And most people in this world like living in try. Well, I tried. You know, people say something, they give their word to somebody, and that it's a suggestion, right? They don't think that they have to actually do what they actually said. And you either did it or you didn't do it. It's that simple. And if you didn't do it, it's not, okay, now I can get out the rubber hose and beat myself up and be, you know, bow my head and turn into step and fetch it. It's not that. It's do what you say. Have some integrity. That's the truth. And how small an item do you have to have integrity with? You say you're going to do something, do it. Big or small, do it. Or don't. You know, that's what God talks about in Revelation. He said, you know what? I'd rather you be hot or cold. I'd rather you be a believer or an unbeliever. But if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. I don't like those guys. And I don't blame him. I don't like it either. It's not clear. So the mood of command gets people crazy because God is giving you an order. Now, you also have freedom to obey it or to disobey it. So there's a mood change as we move to the second verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And definitely, do not be conformed to this world by Satan, by his world system, and by the flesh. Instead, definitely do this. Keep on being transformed by God the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God in the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what the will of God is. And the will of God is that which is good and that which is acceptable and that which is perfect. So if you want to make an assessment of what you're doing is good and acceptable and perfect, just run it through the screen of the Bible's truth. And you'll know right away. And maybe you won't like what you see when you go run it through the screen of the truth. What does it mean to be conformed? This word is a verb in the passive voice, which means that the subject of the sentence is being acted upon. And the subject of the sentence is you. God's enemy is acting upon you and trying to conform you all the time. Now, if you come to Bible study for an hour and a half, that means that there are 158 and a half hours where you aren't here, 56 of which you are asleep, if you have any sense whatsoever, which means for 101 or 102 hours, you are being conformed. And if you don't have that hour and a half of transformation, you're being totally conformed. And you don't think so. You know why? You don't think so? Because you're a Mount Pleasant frog. See, frogs are brilliant. You want to make frog soup? Boil the water, get it boiling, 212 degrees, and throw the frog in. Frogs are brilliant, though. What will they do? They jump right out of the water. That's hot. I don't want to be in there. But if you put a frog in cold water and slowly and then turn up the temperature, as the temperature changes to boiling, the frog will sit right there and won't move. That's you. See, God gave us that example to talk to us. He's always talking to us through every example we have in nature. You will sit there. That frog will become soup, because he does not notice the temperature change that's going on around him. That's you. The world is conforming you. You are getting worse and worse all the time in the flesh in you. And if you don't have the Word of God to point that out to you, you won't know about your blood guiltiness. You won't know about your true condition. People, I've heard people say about their parents, no matter what I did for my parents, it wasn't good enough. That was a gift to you. They were teaching you a very important lesson. Nothing you do is good enough. Amen? It's only what God does through us that's good enough. What we do isn't good enough. We make our little plans. We make our little families and our little plans, and we think we're doing something. And there are a lot of rich people who think that they're amazing. They got up today, and the first thing they did, they got their phone. They started checking their stocks. Oh, look at that. Amazon went up 2 points. I made another $2 million today. And then you ask them that question. So what's your attitude toward Jesus Christ? Huh? Jesus Christ. What's your attitude toward Christ? Yeah, I think he existed. He was a good prophet and good teacher. Do you believe he's God? No. Okay. Well, let's figure out what that Amazon's going to do for you then. That Amazon ain't going to do it. One thing for you, because you can't buy your way into heaven. And there are a lot of people who are in that circumstance. You know why? Because they're being conformed. And what does it mean to be conformed? It means to be made similar in form, to be made similar in nature, to be made similar in character. Satan, with his world system of thought and through the flesh inside of you, is conforming you to be exactly like him. Now listen to God's warning to his believers in Christ about being conformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the first part. Definitely don't be conformed to this world by Satan, by his world system, and by the flesh. Definitely don't do that. If you aren't getting the Word of God into you, you are being conformed. 112 hours a week. And that's the truth. Because you aren't good enough. There's nothing worthy inside of you to make up truth. That's what I get every week. See, you don't get to experience what I get to experience every week. What I get in touch with every week through my 20 hours of study a week is how lousy I am. Because when you're standing in front of that mirror, like I did this morning, like, damn, why didn't that melt off last night? The truth is sitting right there in front of you. You know, I counted my chins this morning. I think they're about 3. Okay. But see, I'm going to look. I'm going to look in the mirror because that's what this is. The mirror of the Word of God. I'm going to look. How about you? You looking? See, people remember 10% of what they hear only. They remember 50% of what they see and hear. When you take notes, you increase your ability to remember by 40%. Are you putting yourself in a position to access truth during the week so that you can use it on the things that you have going on in your life? See, what God is saying to you by Romans 12:2, definitely don't be conformed to this world by Satan, his world system, and by the flesh. What he's saying to you is that there's a system of thought being sponsored by his enemy, Satan. And Satan's only own way of thinking, his world system of thought, and his internal agent within us, the flesh, all have something in common. And what they have in common is they are very interested in conforming you. They are very interested in making you similar in form, similar in nature, and similar in character to them. They want to destroy you and everything that is important to you. Yikes! What God commands from us, for us believers in Christ to do, instead of being conformed, is to keep on being transformed by God. This is one of my favorite Greek words. What does it mean to be transformed? It means to undergo a complete change in form. One of my favorite Greek words, metamorpho, for you to undergo a complete metamorphosis, like a caterpillar going to a butterfly. If you get on YouTube and you pull up the caterpillar going to a butterfly, what you see is this caterpillar going through this big change, struggle to get out of the cocoon or whatever they call that thing he's in. What is it? Chrysalis, that's right. Struggling to get out of the chrysalis. And then when he gets out, it doesn't look anything like that caterpillar, does it? In green and hairy and doing that, beautiful monarch butterfly. That's what God's doing to you. And when you look at a monarch butterfly, you don't see anything that remotely resembles a caterpillar. That's transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers in Christ are, he is a new creature. He is completely transformed, completely changed into a new being. Why? Because the old self things passed away. Christ killed the old man in you at the cross. That flesh in you is dead, and you are regularly engaging in necromancy, or what? No, that's not the word. What is it when you have sex with dead people? What is that? Necrophilia, that's it. When you have sex with dead people, you're regularly engaging in necrophilia by listening to the flesh when it talks to you. A dead thing is trying to direct you to do stupid stuff that hurts you. So the old self things have passed away. Behold, new self things have come. You've undergone a complete transformation. This body is going to die because it has the flesh in it. And what's going to be left is your soul and spirit. And that soul and spirit is indwelled by the entire Trinity. That soul and spirit is going to go into a resurrection body that is recognizable to family and friends when you're in heaven. And you will no longer be encumbered by this lying flesh. But for right now, that's your circumstance. And the truth is what transforms us. God wants the truth to rest in and to operate in our innermost being. And God is transforming us from the inside out. A complete metamorphosis. We much prefer the eyewash of social media where we get to shape others' viewpoint of us. We get to put up lies about ourselves and pictures that only flatter us. But what are we like when we find out that the people that we're in a relationship with are human? What are we like when the people in our relationship, the people we're in relationships with, are flawed? And even more, what are we like when we look in the mirror and find out that secret about ourselves, and we're scared to death that we're going to find out, which you could easily find out if you just ask somebody outside of you, because we see what the stupid stuff you're doing all the time and would be glad to tell you and not even charge you for it. Amen? I ain't going to charge you $145 an hour to tell you who you are. I just tell you like it is. Amen? No charge. What are we really like? We aren't good enough. And if you're bothered by that, if you think you can change that, if you think every day you can get 1% better, then you like kidding yourself. I'm convinced that we don't become human until we come to terms with our blood guiltiness. What is it when we come to terms with our helpless hopelessness? It's called truth. And the God we worship is truth. Here's what he had to say, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. I am the truth. The God we worship abhors, hates, is disgusted by all that is not true. And Satan is not true in any way. John 8:44 says this, you Pharisees are of your father the devil, Satan, and you want to do the desires of your father. Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And whenever Satan speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the one who keeps on fathering lies. And I was talking to, or text messaging with, interacting with one of our congregation members who was had the rubber hose out full bore this week. And I was hearing all the things that were going on in the mind. And I said, well, just write some of them out. Just write them out. Let me see what's being said. Oh, you're not good enough. You're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. I said, okay, look at all that stuff. And everything that that says, you're exactly the opposite of it. Because everything that Satan says through the flesh is a lie. And so what you should believe is not those lies, but the exact opposite of it. He's always telling me, you're a lousy pastor. And I just tell me something I don't know, man. Tell me something I don't know. But God the Holy Spirit's a phenomenal pastor, and I'm a good Charlie McCarthy, right? I'm the dead terrorist. Charlie McCarthy was a puppet. You know, you just put your hand up his shirt, and then move his mouth. That's what Holy Spirit does with me. He just puts his hand up my shirt and moves my mouth. Sometimes he's right on my spine, though. It kind of hurts. Right? That's why every once in a while, you'll hear me say, silence, I kill you. Because the ventriloquist, God the Holy Spirit, is telling me what to say. So when the flesh is talking to you, it's lying. Because everything Satan says is a lie. Because it comes from his own nature, the liar. That's his identity. The Lord is truth. Satan is a lie. Our God is truth. His enemy lies. Our God wants us to be transformed. Our enemy wants us to be conformed. What does God want for and from us? Truth. He wants to change us from the inside out. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you, Lord, desire the truth in the innermost being. God wants no falsehood in us. We do not reflect him when there is falsehood in us. It's God the Holy Spirit's job to transform us out of that state. In John 16:7, the Lord says this to us. He says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you the truth. Why? Because he is the truth. That's all he ever does. The Bible is completely true. There's not a lie in it. There's no contradiction in it. I've been studying it for 30 years, and I haven't found one thing that was false in it. I haven't found one contradiction in it, and I'm looking for one. So I don't have to do this anymore. Because the football game started at 10. Amen? I want to see some football. And if there's a lion there, then I can just go home and watch football. I can stay home. Eat Cinnabons. And listen to Kenny Rankin music. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Paraclete, God the Holy Spirit, the one who comes powerfully to our assistance with divine power, that's what a paraclete is, like a lawyer, will come to you, will not come to you. But if I go, and of course I am, first class condition if in the Greek, I will send God the Holy Spirit to you. John chapter 16, verse 13. And when he, God the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He is a rudder of truth. For God the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears from the Father and from the Lord, he will speak, because they're on one page, and he will disclose to you what is to come. That's awesome. That is so awesome. That's so amazing. I love that. I get up every day. The first thing I want to hear is some truth. The first thing I want my eyes to hit is some truth. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning is put on my rudder so I can go in the direction my God wants me to go. So what's your choice? Transformed or conformed? God commands you to be transformed, and you need to obey, because coming from a transformed mind is a holy, wonderful, holy, fulfilling experience, and it is the destiny of every believer in Christ, the believers who consider it a priority to take in the truth. And see, isn't it wonderful you have to work at it? Isn't it just wonderful that it's something that God does for you? Isn't it just wonderful that God considers your problems to be his responsibility? Isn't that awesome? You hearing that outside? No, what you're hearing outside is you're going to be carjacked by a black guy in the Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot. And I don't know why you would go to Bed Bath & Beyond anyway. They're too expensive. Amen? Go to Walmart. All right, well, we close the lesson reminding you that God wants you. And if you haven't made the most important decision of your life, you need to know this, that according to the Word of God, there are only two kind of people in the world: believers in Christ, those who have been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and unbelievers, those who remain condemned in their unbelief by rejecting a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, either through ignorance or through willful antagonism. And the Word of God makes it absolutely clear. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged. But he who does not obey the command, he who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, has been judged already, because he has not believed in the person of the uniquely born Son of God." Everyone who has ever lived belongs in one of those two distinct groups and will spend eternity in one of two places: in heaven for believers in Christ, or in the lake of fire for unbelievers. Heaven is described as a place of no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, a place exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think, a place where believers in Christ will be absent from the body and at home, face to face with the Lord. The lake of fire is described as a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place where unbelievers will suffer soul-racking remorse, eternal torment, and dreadful agony with no hope of escape. Why? Because they wanted to. Because they rejected Jesus Christ. Because it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind about Christ. So if you're an unbeliever, right now, right this very minute, you can choose to be free of this predicament if you acknowledge a few very important things. Number one, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. Why? Because all creatures have sinned and fall short of the essence of God. Romans 6:23, "For the compensation from sin is death and eternity in the lake of fire. But the free gift of God the Father is the resurrection life and absolute righteousness for those who choose to be in union with Christ. When you believe in Christ, you're placed into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, and you cannot get out of it. It's not the baptism of the water either, by the way. It's the baptism of the Spirit, because you expressed your desire to be saved by asking God the Father to save you through Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in Christ Jesus, all the essence of deity dwells in bodily form. He's not a good prophet. He's not a good teacher. He is God. Jesus Christ is God, deity, dwelling in bodily form. John 1:14. The Lord, God the Son, became flesh as Jesus Christ and lived among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the uniquely born one from the source of God the Father, full of grace and full of truth. 1 Peter 2:22. Christ Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. John 1:12. But as many as received Jesus, accepting his work as the payment for their sins, to them the Lord gave the right to become the adopted adult children of God the Father, a right given to those who believe in Christ's person. Big finish now. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life right at that moment, eternal life. He who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. The closing song, Made New, by Lincoln Brewster.
You're calling me over, you're pulling me close. With love you surround me, you give me hope. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're taking me deeper, you're making me whole. With grace you
I'm
It's abruptly. Amazing. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for giving us God the Holy Spirit to lead us into all the truth. We pray that you help us to make the truth a more important priority than breathing, and that you help us to understand how much your truth in our soul helps us to be transformed instead of conformed, because at the moment of salvation, you made us believers in Christ new. And you did that because you did not want us to have anything to do with anything that is sinful or that is false. And you gave us the Holy Spirit of power, knowing that we could not do that on our own. So help us to be the kind of people that you want us to be and to do exactly what you want us to do by obeying you. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.